Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I mean, I said Cooper to Gene earlier, but I'm gonna you know, loop Quinion Mitchell in here too. You know, because if James Bradbury isn't here, well, all of a sudden that opens up an opportunity for him to potentially be with the first team from the start, which is, you know, pretty intriguing to me because you know, you don't always see rookies in that spot. Maybe he won't be. Maybe it's Isaiah Rodgers or Keely Ringo or Josh Jobe or Eli Ricks, whoever.
Yeah.
Let's go to our friend Brandon Lee Gouton in the waiting room. BLG from Bleeding Green Nation joining us now on Birds 365. BLG, how you doing, man?
How's it going, guys?
BLG, good to see you. Well, we're going to talk about OTAs, but since we were talking about it as you popped in, this Devontae Parker situation. It's funny because we did our initial 53, way too early 53, which is kind of laughable at this stage. And I didn't even have him making the team. So, full disclosure, I'm not excited about Devontae Parker. But now that he's gone, and you look at the backups, outside receivers, there's nothing, BLG, nothing. You're talking about Joseph Nada, who Sander brought up. You're talking about Johnny Wilson, the sixth-round pick, and a bunch of futures guys. I just mentioned Corey Davis, who had that weird retirement. He's only 29. They got, no matter who it is, though, BLG, they got to bring in somebody, don't they? Veteran body.
Yeah, I think they will. It is a little funny. Like, it's true. Like, more than one thing can be true. The depth not great. A lot of teams would kill to have one of either Devontae Smith or AJ Brown, let alone both of them. Yes. So it is a good, you know. It's still obviously in a good spot, relatively speaking, but yeah, certainly. I mean, if something happens to one of those two guys, and, you know, not trying to jinx anything, but those guys have obviously been remarkably healthy the past 2 years, then yeah, you're not looking at as deep of a group all of a sudden, looking really thin, really fast. And yeah, I do think they're going to address that in some way. I did have Parker on my 53, but it was, you know, it was close between him and Campbell. So yeah, not certainly a can't lose kind of player, but more significant than not at all.
Yeah, we've gotten spoiled, BLG. Johnny Mack and I just brought up James Thrash and Todd Pinkston. All of a sudden now we're looking for a wide receiver three after two of the best in the league.
Well, so, and by the way, it BLG points out, I also had it down to one of the two was going to make it,
right?
Campbell or Devontae Parker. And I took Campbell because he's more of a slot guy and you need the slot guy. Devontae Parker can't play in the slot. So I thought anybody, BLG, that was talking about him as the potential wide receiver three, I thought they were way off base. They weren't going to play that guy in the slot. I guess you could move Devontae inside or even AJ because they have that versatility and play Devontae Parker outside. You could go about it that way. But he was never going to be a slot player.
I think it's interesting the type of receivers they added this offseason, including Parker in there. You know, it's kind of like Parker and Johnny Wilson kind of have that same profile as more of these, you know, bigger bodied, prototypical X receiver size, and guys who aren't going to be high volume targets, but potentially could be big play guys on the outside. Not necessarily known for generating separation, but being able to make plays on the ball in the air downfield. And obviously the counter to that is, you know, Paris Campbell and Anaya Smith, more of the prototypical slot kind of gadget touch receiver guy. And I thought it was kind of interesting. They added, you know, two kinds of molds of those players, and maybe that talks or lends to like mixing and matching those skill sets in the offense, or, you know, I don't know exactly how they plan to roll that out.
BLG, earlier in the show, we talked a little bit about Javon Holland, former Vic Fangio player in Miami, made some kind of sly comments about Vic Fangio, alluding to him, I guess, not being a good person, which, you know, I don't know, that's a shot to me. Is he a good coach or is he not? But what do you make of that? I mean, do you think that's going to be a problem? Vic Fangio has kind of mentioned, you know, I don't think the game has changed that much. He's definitely an old school coach. I brought up the my favorite quote from my favorite movie. I'll be your coach. I won't be your friend. Herb Brooks in Miracle. I think Vic kind of has that feel, but is that going to be a problem with the modern NFL, modern player?
I think it bears monitoring for sure. I mean, you know, like there's been enough chatter about it. I don't want to say this because the Dolphins players are complaining. They're definitely right about it. And, you know, there was a quote from Drew Rosenhaus that, you know, this offseason, some players certainly didn't like Vic in Miami, but some other players really did. You've seen Justin Simmons have some really nice things to say about Vic Fangio, about their time together in Denver. So I don't want to just say that, you know, all players hate him automatically, but I do think certainly you might rub some people the wrong way based on what we've seen. Maybe that won't be as an issue in Philly. Maybe he's a good fit with the players here. But it is worth monitoring. I think especially as it relates to, you know, Nick Sirianni, everyone doesn't want to hear about the core values he talks about, but, you know, connection is, you know, one he emphasizes. He actually called it the Eagles' number one core value at that combine this year. And he said they're going to triple down on those core values. So I think I'm kind of more interested in how, you know, that dynamic works there with Sirianni, you know, talking about connection and everything. And then Vic Fangio, who kind of just seems more about, you know, let's get the work done.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, it's about a generational thing. This will be Vic's 40th year in the professional coaching ranks. So, you know, he's a senior citizen. He's 65 now. Can he connect with younger players? I don't like the fact that that was a backhanded shot about being a good person. You know, there's plenty of people who think Vic Fangio is a great coach, great player. So I don't, you know, there's some bitterness there for whatever reason. Hopefully that doesn't manifest itself in Philadelphia. But you did your sort of things to look for at Eagles OTA's first practice today, open to reporters over at bleedinggreennation.com. So everybody should check that out from BLG. Give us the top two or three that you want to see with the first time the Eagles veterans and the rookies are together this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the more intriguing things is, like, you know, where does Cooper DeJean line up? Because there's been so many questions about that. Yeah. I'm going to guess, you know, we'll see him at, I think, more cornerback than safety, but exactly, you know, where in terms of the outsider slot. I mean, I would lean towards the nickel role maybe, but really intrigued to see that. I know, you know, he wasn't the Eagles first round pick, but the Eagles, you know, were really excited, obviously, to get him based on all those draft video things they put out. And, you know, I think he could be a really interesting player for this team because of that versatility, and kind of want to see how much Vic Fangio puts on his plate from the jump. So I think, you know, really the secondary as a whole, because, you know, yeah, where is James Bradbury here? We don't know that, right? Is he?
And by the way, if I'm advising James Bradbury, I've said all week, I'm not showing up. James Bradbury.
I don't think, why would the Eagles want him here either? And I mean, because, like, you know, if any reps he takes, you know, it's reps the young guys aren't getting. And if he gets hurt, then, you know, that's not a good spot to be in with the contract and everything. So, I think, you know, both sides have a benefit from him not being there.
Yeah, Jeffrey Lurie might step in and say, Cooper DeJean, he's our starting slot cornerback based on that draft video. Jeffrey Lurie might have a say in that one.
I mean, they like him a lot. Obviously, they think he checks a lot of boxes. So, I mean, a lot of these depth chart things, you know, I think that's kind of what we're going to see today in terms of, like, that. What does the wide receiver three rotation kind of look like there? Right guard, obviously. I'm interested to see how linebacker looks, especially with Vic Fangio mentioning that Zach Bond.
He might be my number one guy, as crazy sure. as that sounds. I'm like, I want to see where Zach Bond lines up. I'm very excited for that. Because, look, I think he's an off-ball linebacker. He's been kind of intimated that he thinks he can play there. Mm. I think he's in line to be a potential starter. I really do.
He was the first guy Vic mentioned when he was asked about the off-ball linebacker.
I said to Johnny Mack a couple weeks ago, like, Johnny Mack, if you told me a couple weeks ago the number one guy everyone would be talking about going into OTAs is Zach Bond.
I don't know if everybody's talking about that.
No, but I do think there's been a lot of talk about him ever since Vic had mentioned him. Yeah. And now you see social media talking about him. There's a lot of talk about Zach Bond out there.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. And even if he's that flat defender, which Howie intimated he was, Vic uses that a lot. And that's a meaningful position as well. And Andrew Van Ginkle last year with Miami had a great year in that role. And that's who Howie sort of compared Zach Bond to. So that to me is one of the most interesting storylines. Another one you mentioned, BLG, is right guard for this reason. I think the Eagles fail safe, sort of their Stefan Wisniewski of the new era, is Matt Hennessy. But he's also the backup center.
Yeah.
So if he's on the second team playing center, he can't take right guard reps. How does that affect that sort of battle? It's not important today. It's the first day. But as you go through later in the summer, will it be a situation? Well, they know what Matt Hennessy can do if he's healthy versus let's see what if Trevor Keegan can push Tyler Steen.
Right. It feels like it almost like could work against Hennessy in a way.
Because they need him to be backup center.
Yeah, if he's going to be needed there, you know, that's going to limit the reps he can get. But, you know, I think they're really high on Tyler Steen, or at least, you know, I think he's going to be given, you know, a legitimate chance to win this thing. You know, we'll see today if there ends up being any kind of rotation there. Like last year, there certainly wasn't. It was just Cam Jurgens' job from the jump, and we never we thought there was going to be a competition with Steen, but there really wasn't. He was never really in the first team. So I think they're going to give that kind of look to Steen here, but, you know, he's going to have to earn it. And if he's struggling, then certainly they are going to look at other options there. But for now, I do think they have a lot of confidence in him.
Somebody I'm looking out for, and he might not have a big role in the team this year, but I'm still waiting to see how he looks, or what, you know, what the, how the people, how you guys, the reporters who were down there say he looks, is Mekhi Becton. I've heard, we had Phil Simms on the network who, I mean, when I say raved about him, I mean, like, he spoke about this guy like he's going to be a stud. He's in the perfect spot. We had Brian Baldinger on. Brian Baldinger raved about him. Like, I'm curious to see, does this guy still have a lot left in the tank? He's a young player. He was drafted very high. He obviously has a lot of talent. He's had his injuries. He's had his problems, but Jeff Stoutland has shown he can do wonders. I wonder if Mekhi Becton could have a role in this football team, you know, almost immediately. Maybe he's a potential right guard candidate. I don't see it, but I guess it's possible with Stout.
Yeah, I think the Becton thing's really interesting. Some of those people you just mentioned, I think Baldy specifically kind of talked about like a maturity thing there in terms of what has been holding him back to this point. So I think it's really up to him. You know, if Becton kind of lock in here, and it seems like he has a good mindset in terms of, you know, it's not like he just said, hey, I only want to go to a team if I can potentially start, definitely start. He's coming to Philadelphia where he knows he probably won't be starting, but has an opportunity to kind of raise his value here and be a very incredibly valuable backup. You know, God forbid Jordan Mailata or Lane Johnson goes down and has an opportunity to play right away there. I'm really intrigued to see him too. I'm guessing we're not going to see him at guard, at least to start.
Too big, right? I mean, he's big dude.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. And
he is really big. I got to see him up close. I don't know if he went up to those Jets practices, BLG, a couple years ago.
Yes.
But he is just massive. And I don't know, because Landon is listed as 6'6, and Tyler, I think, is listed at 6'5, and Mekhi's 6'7, but he looks bigger than this guy. I don't know. I don't know.
2 inches, right? It doesn't look like he's only,
I don't know. You're really impacting at some point. I think Jalen Hurts' ability to see the throwing lanes at some point. I think he'll be a great swing tackle, but I can't see him projecting it at right guard. That's not even bringing into the, you know, it's a different position. You're playing in a phone booth versus outside, and I don't see that fit. But I think he's a great, great swing tackle for the Eagles. I really do that. And Jeff Stoutland's perfect for him to resuscitate his career. So I think it's a very good signing by the Eagles. It's interesting that Xander brought that up, because I am a little concerned about this pedigree drafting, I called it. You know, everybody's excited about Saquon and even Mekhi Becton and all these former first-round picks.
Devin White.
Well, yep. Devin, I should have brought up first and foremost, because I am not excited by Devin White. last year they did it. Kenny Pickett they traded for, and all this that they liked him in the draft, a first round pick. Well, last year they got Marcus Mariota, and last year they got Rashad Penny. Remember how many people were excited about Rashad Penny?
Yeah,
sure. First round pick. He averaged 6 yards a carry. You didn't see him. Terrell Edmonds, first round pick, starter for the Steelers. And even Greedy Williams and Justin Evans. Justin Evans was actually one. You know, he ended up winning the starting job. He just got hurt again, like he always gets hurt. Are they too enamored with this? Again, I called it pedigree scouting. We like so-and-so from 5 years ago in the draft.
Yeah, I think it's a little like a simple, maybe sometimes to just be like, well, this guy, you know, was a former first round pick, so he must be good. But at the same time, it's like, then why is he available? You know, there's a reason, you know, he's available to you,
especially when you're 25 or 26 years old. Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of works against that thinking. And sometimes, you know, I think it's, you know, the mistake of taking a guy that high and then seeing, oh, that didn't really work out, as opposed to, and that's the thing, like, you know, those players got chances, right? It's not like, hey, you're bringing in this guy who didn't get an opportunity, and maybe now you give it, so he's kind of like a, you know, a diamond in the rough, a hidden gem, if you will, where, you know, you can kind of give him that opportunity he previously didn't get, and then maybe there's something more to get out of him because he didn't get that fair shake, whereas, you know, these players probably very much did, given their draft status.
Yeah, and Devontae Parker was a first-round pick and doesn't even make it to the first day of open OTAs. But, yeah, usually those things don't work out. Hopefully it changes and the Eagles get a little bit of a better hit rate this time around. The coordinators you also mentioned, Vic Fangio, we talked about a little bit, Kellen Moore, and obviously we're not going to see a ton of schematic stuff, but do you think we'll be able to see the difference on offense with the motion, whether it's Jalen Hurts under center a little bit more, Saquon, maybe they throw some of those swing passes into the offense. You think there'll be noticeable changes?
Yeah, I'm intrigued because if I'm not mistaken, the past few years of Sirianni, well, every year of Sirianni's OTAs, we haven't really seen 11 on 11, right, John?
No.
Yeah. So I mean, if we're not, so I don't know if that's different this year. No, because it seems like there's certainly an effort to practice more, considering they're going to have a mandatory mini camp. Considering, you know, Vic Fangio, he said, you know, they want more practice time. Considering you have two new coordinators, I would think maybe they might actually do that this year. But if they don't, and we're only seeing 7-on-7, then obviously, yeah, there's a big limit on what we're going to actually see schematically. But yeah, I would guess maybe we see enough to kind of like tweet a couple things, but not enough to, you know, certainly have the book on what they're doing.
Yeah, how much do you think Vic Fangio? How much do you think Vic Fangio had to do with the changed schedule this summer? Or do you think it was more of an organizational thing after things didn't go well late in the season last year? They kind of collapsed. Nick Sirianni wants to focus on connection, which they were not good at late in the year last year. Do you think it was Vic, or do you think it was more organizational?
I don't think the Fangio thing was irrelevant. I mean, he said, you know, he was pushing.
Yeah, he said it right away. Yeah.
But I mean, I think, you know, you look at other factors like, you know, the past couple of years, you know, the first year, obviously, of Sirianni era, there was the COVID, you're coming off COVID. There was also, you know, coming off the Super Bowl last year. So maybe you want to go a little bit lighter considering you went deep into the season. And obviously just leaning into the fact that they've been one of the healthier teams in the NFL. And one of the most devastating things you can have happen at this time of year is, you know, have that season ending injury and lose a player. So, you know, I think, you know, ultimately, there were some things that kind of, you know, and again, two new coordinators. Okay. You probably want a little bit extra time to maybe implement those schemes. I think there's multiple factors there working into, more practice time.
I liked your, BLG. I like your unexpected long shot who pops, category. Good Devontae Ballsby pull. got to go back away for Devontae. Christian Ellis, you mentioned. I always look, I was trying to remember. Remember there was that giant receiver from Rutgers? I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah. This is back in the Doug era still?
Yeah. Or, Doug, I think it was the Doug era. It might have been late Chip. Either way. Yeah, Femi Moma. it was a giant receiver. It's always the giant receivers. And then the Rutgers, I can't remember his name to save
I know life. Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
He got a lot of excitement. And I think Johnny Wilson's going to be the guy this year. He's just so big and so physical. And he's out there in t-shirts and shorts. I think he's just going to be catching the football over everybody. And everybody's going to go, wow, Johnny Wilson. Look at Johnny Wilson.
Mm.
Anybody else you might see that pops?
Carlton Agudosi, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I saw you thinking, and thank you. I could not, and I was Googling it. I'm saying I'm 90% sure he's from Rutgers.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I couldn't find him anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to think.
Nice job. Nice job.
I've been like thinking about like, who is that guy, you know, who's going to pop like kind of from out of nowhere. You know, I think Ben Van Sumeren, like, I don't know if he counts. He was on the roster a little bit late last year, did some things on special teams. If I'm going someone like totally new, someone who I think like Eagles fans don't even know by and large, like is on the roster. Maybe it's like Tyler Hall, you know, like in the slot there, had some experience with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's probably coming into this offseason with the expectations of someone just like, you know, a future signing, a UDFA. Like, he has legit NFL experience. So, you know, maybe, you know, he's in the slot there. And he's making some plays. And, you know, at this point in the offseason, like, it's a passing camp to some extent. So, you know, that's the kind of position I think that could excel. Maybe he makes some plays on the ball and pops and like Bosby. Or
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like Christian Ellis, you know, doesn't really factor in at all in any meaningful way, but stands out at this time of year.
Yeah. BLG, it is a passing camp. Sorry, go ahead, Sam.
No, go ahead, John. You're good.
Well, running backs, I was going to say, because you can't find anything about running backs other than what they do in the passing game.
Right.
Which certainly fits Saquon, certainly fits Will Shipley, certainly fits Kenny Gainwell. But I for the life of me, it's so redundant with those three guys as far as skill sets. And I'm not comparing, you know, Will to Saquon. Saquon's obviously more talented. He's more gifted, but they're all the same type of back. And I'm like, I've always wanted to see, and I probably mentioned to you in the past, a one cut downhill north south runner behind this offensive line. You saw it a little bit with Jordan Howard
at
times, but you haven't seen it recently. And I got these, they got three guys. They signed an undrafted kid from Georgia, Kendall Milton. They have Ty Davis Price, who's one of those futures players. The Eagles talked about how he talked about it a lot this offseason. And then Lou Nichols, who had been here on the practice squad. And they're all that type of guy. They're all big backs, north-south runners. But we're not going to learn anything about those guys until the pads come on, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's always this. It's kind of like frustrating to me, at least, sometimes when the Eagles run the ball in practice. I get they have to do it. But from an observation standpoint, you know, there's only so much to be gained sometimes. Obviously, you can see what's going on at the offensive line or whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of just a little silly when, you know, the defense can't do much to the running back. Yeah, limited knowledge that we're going to get.
And the offensive line, too, for that matter. Sure. You really can't get a feel for the offensive line is either. It's frustrating for those guys. That's why I think you have about a million receivers coming out in the draft, because that's all they do in the offseason. Yeah,
for sure.
It's tough, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah, yes, I don't like, we just, John, you just talked about it with the types of backs the Eagles get. I don't know why they don't just get a north to south runner. I got asked the question yesterday on the National Football Show. What's a better tandem, the two new tandems of quarterback running back, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley? Like, to me, Derrick Henry fits the quarterback there so much better than Saquon Barkley fits with Jalen Hurts. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't know why the Eagles, like, I would have loved to have signed Derrick Henry. I think he would have been a perfect back that would have actually taken pressure off Jalen Hurts. But the Eagles just, they do not want to go that route. They have shown who they like at running back.
Yeah, they clearly have a type, and it's a little, I was a little surprised, you know, by the Shipley pick from a standpoint of just like, okay, you're drafting Kenny Gainwell's successor. Like, that's something you have to do. Like, really? Like, but they like Kenny Gainwell a lot. So,
yeah. And they just like, it's funny to me from a personnel perspective. So basically we're talking about Howie and the personnel staff. They only value running backs who can be three down run players. So they need to pass protect and they need to catch the football, but they never utilize the running. They have great receiving backs. You don't know it because they didn't use them. Kenny Gainwell was a great receiving back coming out of college. And he even played some wide receiver at Memphis to the point he was so good. DeAndre Swift, BLG, you could argue he's a better receiver, just a receiver. I'm not comparing them as players than Saquon was. And Saquon is.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know it from his status in the Eagles offense. So do they need to get on the same page, the personnel staff and the coaching staff, when it comes to running backs, their scouting?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I wonder how much too is, you know, the Jalen Hurts factor, obviously. Not like a guy who's going to always check down to the running back as much as he would just take off running himself, which I think
he doesn't like to do it at all.
Yeah. So I think that's a factor too. I think maybe, you know, in a perfect world, they would like to do that more often conceptually, the coaching staff, but you know, when the player has a preference, that also needs to be factored in.
BLG, take out Zach Bond from the equation. What player are you most looking forward to seeing on the field today?
I'm going to say, I mean, I said Cooper DeJean earlier, but I'm gonna you know, loop Quinyon Mitchell in here too. You know, because if James Bradbury isn't here, well, all of a sudden that opens up an opportunity for him to potentially be with the first team from the start, which is, you know, pretty intriguing to me, because you know, you don't always see rookies in that spot. And maybe he won't be. Maybe it's Isaiah Rogers or Keely Ringo or Josh Jobe or Eli Ricks. Whoever. But it would say a lot to me, you know, if Mitchell is there, considering how coaches can be reluctant to play rookies with the first team and kind of want to make them feel like they have to earn it. So if Mitchell is there, and regardless if he isn't there, I'm still, you know, it's intrigued to see him, because this is a setting, you know, where we just talked about, like, the running backs who are bigger aren't going to thrive in. You're not going to learn a lot. I mean, a player in this setting, I would think, would thrive with, you know, no pads on and stuff. Just a guy who played a lot of off coverage in college and was really good at that. Yeah. I would think Quinyon Mitchell has the ability to stand out in these kind of drills.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Bryce Hoff today. I want to see. I know you're not going to learn a lot about Bryce Hoff, but I think it's one of the biggest question marks coming in. Everybody's assuming Bryce Hoff is just going to fill the role of Hassan Reddick.
I hope he drops, and I hope they have 11 on 11s and he drops in coverage so I can tell everybody.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Yeah. At Brandon Gowton, make sure you follow BLG on X and Twitter. Read him at Bleeding Green Nation. You know, I'm going to predict, you just mentioned, knowing Nick, it's going to be Ringo or Rick. So Bradbury isn't there. One of those two guys is going to get the first rep. And Quinyon Mitchell's going to have to earn it. But
if Bradbury,
I don't have a problem with that.
Is that a big Bradbury rolls in there today?
Full disclosure, and I'm sure BLG is the same. I love James Bradbury. Great guy. Tremendous professional. Wouldn't surprise me if he showed up.
From that perspective, John, I agree. Like, I could see him, just because he's such a good professional guy like that. He's like, if I'm under contract here and they have an event or they have an OTA, I'm going to it. I could see that.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm with BLG in that it's probably better for him and the Eagles if he stays away. And it is voluntary work, so he's not holding out or doing anything he's not supposed to do.
Right.
And if I were advising him, I would say, James, look, man, don't bother showing up until, you know, because he sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Give me a percentage. The odds, James Bradbury's on this team week one, BLG.
Yeah, I think it's like 1%. Like, it's just, they have so many corners. There's so many bodies. Yeah. It's just like, how does he fit in?
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, like, I would love to know how transparent teams are in this position. Like, you think the Eagles brass has talked to James where it's like, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. Obviously we can't cut you before June 1st. We're going to try and find a trade partner, or is it just like, you don't talk to him at all? You let him.
Well, I think drafting a corner at 22 and one at 40 is pretty transparent. I think it takes care of itself. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much there's direct talk with the player, but certainly Howie, you know, has a reputation for, you know, relationships, and I'm sure he's, you know, talking to the agent at some level, or is at least kind of in communication in that regard.
Yeah. And difficult situation, but you're right. And if James is not going to be a starter, you can't keep him because he's not going to help you on special teams or anything of that nature. So, you know, maybe you wait it out until August and hope somebody else has an injury and is willing to give you a day three pick. And maybe that's how he's planned.
Or maybe not you're going to get anything great, but like, you know, a receiver, you know, like a guy who can be something player like Devontae Parker.
Yeah. 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 A lot of ways you can go. But the human nature part of it comes in, the human aspect. And obviously James sees the writing on the wall. So that part of it's difficult as well. Again, at Brandon Gowton does a tremendous job covering this team. You're going to be down there today for the exciting festivities. I will see you there.
Nice.
I will not see Ober BLG. But he's the only one who's going to be taller than Johnny Wilson.
That's right.
The wide receiver group.
BLG, they might call your name. They might put you at wide receiver. Yeah.
They like those lengthy receivers.
The type they're going for there.
They like those lengthy receivers. So BLG could be in the mix.
We'll see.
All right. BLG, thanks for joining the show, man. Thanks, we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. There's BLG joining the show. Johnny Mac, we won't take a break. We'll just put a bow on the show. What are you looking forward to going down there today?
Zach Bond. Isaiah Rogers, we mentioned a little bit there, a little bit interested to see where he is, because they added so many outside corners. Before the draft, I would have said he'd start outside. Now he might start inside because you have Mitchell, DeJean,
right?
You have also Ringo and Ricks in their second year.
On Ringo is interesting to me. Like, if he's not a good practice player, which I'm fine with. I mean, if he performs in the game and if he has talent, but like, what's his path to getting on the field?
I don't think he has a path. You know? He's got to hopefully he learns from last year, and you know, hopefully, you know, he's very young. He was, I think, the youngest player in the draft last year. And he's, I don't even think he's turned 22 yet. So, he might be younger than.
That's really young. Is he 22?
He's still 21. He's still 21. He turns 22 on June 27th.
Wow. Yeah. That's super young.
So I think he's probably younger. I'm not going to look it up, but he's probably younger than the rookies this year. He is extremely, extremely gifted. And I get everybody gets focused on where people are picked. And he ended up going in the fourth round, probably should have stayed in college. If he would have stayed in college, he'd probably be a first round pick this year. And everybody would have a different take on him. He is, I would argue, more gifted than the corners they drafted this year.
And he is younger than Quinyon Mitchell. He's not younger than Cooper DeJean, but he's younger than Quinyon Mitchell, who's already 22.
yeah, I mean, he's 6'2". He's got everything you want from an outside corner when it comes to length. He runs a sub 4.4 at that height. And you saw him when they threw him into the deep end of the pool. He's just tremendous recovery speed. He's very gifted, but he did not play well in training camp. And if that continues, he's not going to play with
barring an injury where he gets thrown into it. You know, if you can't play in practice, how are you going to show, especially a coach like Vic Fangio, you know?
The point is, he's got to approach practice like he approaches games. Maybe he learns from that. Maybe he learns from the struggles last year, and it kept him off the field. Ricks actually got a chance to play before him, which was not a positive sign. And then all of a sudden, he got a chance to play, and he lapped everybody. All I can say is he's very, very gifted. I'm very high on that.
Yeah, I mean, and for college football fans out there, I know not everybody is, but he was a very, very good player at the University of Georgia. Very good on a good defense. I mean, he could really play. Let's get to our James Carver drop. This is Super Chat, so I want to hit on that real quick. Jay Mack and Xander, especially given Bama ties, do you see Eagles' possible trade of couple CBs to get Mechie from Texans as wide receiver 3 outside? I like it. I like Mechie. He's another Bama guy. He had a tough break when he first got drafted. I think he came down with cancer. Is that correct? Right when he got drafted.
Yeah, he did.
He did beat
that. Well, yeah. So a lot of the health stuff comes into it. Look, I'm open to anybody at this stage. They need to add somebody with some experience. And John doesn't even have a ton of experience.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, no.
He was able to come back last year and play most of the season. So good for him as far as that goes. Yeah, I mean, I would love a player like that. He's young as well. I don't know where Houston is. Obviously, they have very good receivers, and they're an ascending team. Why they would want to give up on him, you know, in essentially his third year, I think. So they have two more years. He was a second-round pick, so they have two more years on his rookie deal. To me, that's not the type of player I'm trying to give away. I'm, you know, now if they have a bigger need at corner, they're pretty good on defense as well. That's maybe the best young team in football.
Yeah, they're a lot of it. Their quarterback, man. That's CJ Stroud, boy. I like him a lot. Yeah, James says they have a wide receiver problem. Like, we have a corner problem with a lot of numbers. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I wonder, John, because normally I don't think player for player trades are likely. You know, you don't see them a lot. I just don't. But I'm going to be interested to see how Howie handles some of these guys that, you know, maybe he starts to get an understanding of who's going to make the roster. Like, does he just cut some of these corners? Does he try and spin them for value to maybe a cornerback needy team? Like, I don't love, like, if you're just going to cut a guy like maybe Eli Ricks, or, you know, I think he's going to make the team. But just as an example, a guy that can play, a guy that's had game snaps in the NFL, a guy that will probably have a spot on somebody's roster. do you just cut him or do you try and like spin him for a late round pick or?
Well, I think the best case is try. And that's why. But again, you have to take in the human effect. And, you know, he kind of sees the writing on the wall and you're always trying to get something for somebody.
Yeah. And maybe other teams know that, too. And they're just going to wait it out.
And the Texans, boy, the Texans are deep, man. They are really deep at receiver. And they brought in, obviously, Stephon Diggs. And,
yeah,
you know, they already had Tank Dell. And, yeah, they're extremely deep at wide receiver, even down to they brought in. I don't know why they brought in Ben Skowronek, who's been with the Rams. He's more of a special teams guy. And Robert Woods is a veteran player. Nico Collins, they're loaded at wide receiver. But they're pretty loaded everywhere. That's a good team. That is a good team, right? And that's how quickly it can happen in the NFL when you find the quarterback. And they're going to be, they should be a legitimate contender this year. Now, you're in the AFC, so you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes. So that's more difficult. But they look pretty, and they drafted Kamari Lassiter at cornerback. In the second round. So, you know, I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a great fit, but hey, I'm open to any names at wide receiver.
It's probably more likely that you send a pick. If let's say the Eagles do want John Mechie. I don't know if a cornerback is going to get it done. Maybe, you know, maybe Eagles would have to send a draft pick over to get somebody like that. But we you know, we'll see how it plays out. Boy, that Texan team is going to be good, Johnny Mac. D'Amico Ryans has done a really good job with them.
Yeah, he has. And we talk about younger coaches, newer generation. D'Amico's done a really good job early. I remember talking to D'Amico at, you know, at Eagles camp and over the years. And you knew there. I mean, Chip used to call him him and Jordan Hicks, what is the Lion King, Mufasa, and what's the little one? I forget. But
I'm not a big Disney guy, so I can't
remember. Mufasa. Yeah, and he really did a great job. But Jordan Hicks was a team leader. You could see he had coaching in his future if he wanted it. But, boy, he hit the ground running and became a head coach really, really quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, C.J. Stroud, he looked phenomenal last year. I think it was his rookie year too. And, you know, he led that team. They put up a good run and they had a good game in the playoffs too. So that would be interesting to see how good that team is this year. But Johnny Mac, just real quick before we get out of here, what's the schedule today? So just so everybody in the chat knows exactly when to expect it. I know they're scheduled to start the OTA at 12:40.
12:45-ish is the start of practice. You'll start seeing some pictures and video if you're following along with reporters, only for about 15 minutes. Then we're going to get to watch the entire practice. So hopefully they have some team drills, some 11-on-11. No guarantees. In the past, as BLG has mentioned, Nick didn't do that kind of stuff until training camp. They didn't have a mini camp, so hopefully they change a little bit and we'll be able to see a few schematic things. Not going to see a ton of stuff, but it's always more important for the skill position players, as Brandon called it, more of a passing camp. That's what you are at this stage.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good for anybody that is looking for the video though, Johnny Mac is going to send over the video to me and I will post it up on our Jacob YouTube channel. So you guys can have a see whatever Johnny Mac is able to capture. I know they do limit how much John can capture. So I don't want to hear anybody bitching. What the heck is this tent? You know, we only have so much.
Yeah, we don't get the video 11 on 11.
We don't have a full GoPro set up down there running on the full practice. So we're not able to do that. But
no.
We will post up what we do get. Johnny Mac, good show today. We're back tomorrow. It's gonna be a really good rest of the week. So anybody that's tuned in today, make sure you tune in tomorrow on Friday. Johnny Mac is going to get into what he saw. We're going to be able to put some details, some data, some knowledge from Johnny Mac behind some information, as he says, behind what we've been talking about. So good stuff. OTAs are officially here, everybody. So should be good stuff. Johnny Mac, thanks for the show today. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Right, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody in the chat. Donald, Mike, SMD James, the many Jameses there are. James Jones, our Commander fan. He's always in here every day. Shout out to him. Twiz, James. We appreciate everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow on Birds 365. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today.